Our second reading this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 through chapter 14, verse 1. Please listen for God's word to you today. But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains but do not love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we all know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, but then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and strive for the spiritual gifts. Before our oldest daughter, Jennifer, started middle school, she asked me if I had liked middle school. I avoided answering the question. I hoped that she would have a better experience than I did, and I did not want to set negative expectations. However, halfway through seventh grade, when my neighbor, who is a middle school math teacher, tells me that middle school kids are at their meanest, Jennifer asked me again if I had liked middle school. This time I answered the question. I hated middle school. The kids were mean, and I was bullied. The two girls across the street would follow me to school every single day for an entire mile and a half walk to school and call me names. There was no time in my life when I was less happy. But high school had been better. Many of the kids had matured and were kinder. In response to my sharing this experience with my daughter, she shared one with me. She shared that she had been wearing her Girl Scout sweatshirt in school that day. It was a navy blue sweatshirt with only the troop number embroidered in pink right here, so that no one would know that it was a Girl Scout uniform. Jennifer had been wearing her pink and blue sweatshirt while walking through the playground during lunchtime, when she walked past one of the girls from a Girl Scout troop who was wearing the same blue and pink sweatshirt. As the fellow Girl Scout passed by Jennifer a while talking to a group of friends, she stopped dead in front of Jennifer and bawled out in a loud voice, "Oh my gosh, she's wearing the same thing!" At which point, her fellow Girl Scout dramatically pulled her blue and pink sweatshirt off of herself, threw it on the ground, stomped on it, and walked away, leaving the sweatshirt abandoned on the blacktop. A couple weeks later, the middle school sent home a permission slip for Jennifer to attend an all-day program at the high school. The school district was concerned about bullying, so all of the 7th and 8th grade students from both Meads Mill Middle School and Hillside Middle School in Northville would be transported by bus to Northville High School, where they would spend the entire day in the auditorium listening to a series of speakers for a day of bullying awareness. When Jennifer got home from the bullying awareness day, I asked how it had gone. She blurted out, "Oh, mother, We had no sooner gotten onto the bus before they started saying things like, "Hey, don't disrespect me. Hey, you need to be nice to me. Hey, you're supposed to show love and kindness toward me." They totally didn't get it, Mom. And then she burst into tears. We live in a time when culturally we really don't get it. We want to be loved, but we don't want to do what it takes to love. In contrast, we Christians, we're supposed to get it. We're supposed to get it because love is the core of the Christian message. Indeed, in our reading from 1 John chapter 4 today, we are told simply, God is love. God is love. And that God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And in this is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In gratitude for Christ's atoning sacrifice, the writer of 1 John encourages us as Christians, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. For God is love. It should be no surprise that the first fruit of the Spirit mentioned by Paul in our Galatians passage from last week was love. Indeed, Paul told us that the Spirit is set against self-indulgence and selfish desires, so that when we are guided by the Spirit, we can be different than the world around us. We can be different by living lives that are characterized not by self-indulgence and selfish desires, but are characterized by the fruit of the Spirit, especially by the fruit of love. For we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses to God's love in Jesus Christ by acting in God's love. For when we actively love those around us, it is a sign of the Holy Spirit acting within us. By the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, who is the gift of God dwelling within us, love does what Jesus would do if Jesus were here. This church community has a long history of serving as the hands and feet of Jesus. When I visited Neoma Harris 6 months ago, just before Neoma passed away, Neoma and her daughter Twyla shared with me many of the wonderful programs offered by Milford Presbyterian Church during the 28 years when she served as the church secretary. For example, a program for pregnant teenagers here in the church where girls would come and learn life skills and how to care for themselves and how to care for their babies. What an inspired and forward-thinking program for that time. This past Christmas, despite the limitations of COVID, this church family provided turkeys for families in need and Christmas presents for foster children. Just last Sunday during the church picnic, I hear you shared tacos with kayakers who happened by, and you shared ice cream with special needs adults who were also picnicking in the park. Right now, today, at this very moment, youth from Milford Presbyterian Church are in Puerto Rico serving as the hands and feet of Jesus. Culturally, we might not get it, for we all do truly want to be loved far more than we want to do what it takes to love. But this community gets it. This church family gets it. We get that love does what Jesus would do if Jesus were here. All though I'm not quite sure we get it completely. Sometimes we can get puffed up by our outward acts of service and generosity, thinking that we have this love thing mastered, when in fact we forget about our day-to-day lives together. We forget that love is also demonstrated by how we treat one another, as well as what we do. Many months ago, in preparation for my second session meeting here at Milford Presbyterian Church, I went to the dollar store on the corner of General Motors and Milford Road. That's it, I got it. I went to purchase plates and napkins and cups, for we were holding the session meeting earlier than usual and were having pizza and salad during the meeting. As I searched through the collection of paper plates, I was becoming rather discouraged. It seemed that all they had in stock were birthday party plates, plates in pastel colors, most suitable for baby showers, and plates with a smiling shark that said, "Bite me." None of these seemed quite suitable for a session meeting. Then I spotted a small stack of paper plates on the bottom shelf with yellow smiley faces all over them. Looking at these places, I thought, now that I can use. So I collected up all their plates, and I got matching napkins and matching cups. And then I went and got balloons, especially blow-up helium balloons with smiley faces. And I took them up to the register to purchase them. The woman behind the register looked at me, and she said, "Oh, what cool plates. I bet you're having a kid's party." I said, "Nope, I'm having a church leadership meeting." She said, "Really?" I said, "Yep." I said, "This is by way of inspiration for them to get along better and remember that it's a joy to be in church." And she grinned from ear to ear and said, "That's really cool. What church do you serve?" I said, "Milford Presbyterian Church." Her shoulders drooped. Her face looked kind of funny, and she said, "Oh, that church. You have your hands full." Now, I'd only been here 6 weeks. I was a little concerned hearing this statement from a woman I'd never met, so I asked her what she meant. She said, "That church is full of," insert explicative rhyming with witchy, starting with B, "old women." Well, they're not all old, just insert explicative once more, "women." I looked at her with a startled look, and I asked, "What makes you say that?" She said, "Well, I'm a nurse, and I used to help out with their blood drives. They would do a great job, set out a wonderful spread, but then they would stand back and gossip and complain amongst themselves. Each one of them wanted to have their own way, and they'd start arguing." Sometimes we forget that we are not only the hands and feet of Jesus, we are also the face and the voice of Jesus. So when we do the loving thing by putting our love into action, we can unfortunately undo that loving thing by doing it with the wrong attitude. Witnessing to God's love within us involves both action and attitude. The Apostle Paul recognized this, and he recognized the danger in being good Christians. And he offers us a reminder in his first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 13, that famous biblical love poem, which we tend to listen to so blithely, we often miss its great importance. It's so familiar, after all. So I invite you right now to truly listen to Paul's warning, both carefully and thoughtfully, as I read it again. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist upon its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends.